Let's pray.
Lord, would the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it is always a joy to worship with you all, to come over from Charlottesville and to be together to delight. So thank you, Pastor Todd, for the invitation. I want to preach on something for us this afternoon, something that's not often preached about or upon, but it is something that has happened to you since the moment you walked through these doors. It's something that's happening to you now. It's something that has happened since you took your first breath. And that something that I want to preach upon or reflect upon from Psalm 71 is aging. I hope you're compelled. Aging, getting old, long in the tooth, however you want to put it. Psalm 71 is a psalm of old age. We're not precisely sure if it's by David, but it is a greatest hits compilation of many other lines from the Psalter. And it covers, if you notice from our reading, our responsive prayer of Psalm 71, it covers youth through old age. It moves from vigor to weakness, praise and trial, fear and legacy. It's sort of like a compilation of life, a greatest hits played by a seasoned poet who has been around the block and who has seen a few things. And I think Psalm 71 matters from this lens on aging because, like I said, it's something that is happening to all of us. But even more than that, I think Psalm 71 is a gift for us because it can show us a beautiful truth that God's grace transforms what it means to age. The Christian faith, I would say, and I'll make the case from Psalm 71, the Christian faith teaches us that aging is, in a real sense, a gift. It is not simply to be conceived of as a curse. That getting old is a gift given from God. And yet even Christians struggle to grasp this because of the complexity of what it's like to age. Culturally speaking, we're deeply confused about what it means to age. Culturally speaking, aging is something that we are trained to do everything in our power to resist or to mask. Youth is something that we are told we ought to idolize, that we should grab hold of and cling to at all costs, even if we end up looking cringy as we try to fit into the new styles and wear of the moment. It's thought of that aging is essentially a gift until you hit 21, and then after that, it's all downhill. This sort of Western modern view of aging is, I think, when we think about it, a total recipe for disaster. It's what companies and the algorithm will use to get their hands all into your bank account. And I think most troubling of all, this sort of view of aging is the result of a culture that has forgotten about the real presence of God. Think about it this way. Quite simply, if each day is a gift from the Lord, God our Creator, then aging, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, is not a source of shame. It is a gracious gift from the Lord. Which means that we have to interrogate if our understanding of aging is more cultural or more Christian. One writer describes aging, I think, in a very Christian and theological spirit this way. They write, aging is not an illness, a tragedy, or a problem awaiting a solution. Aging is the price we pay for life, which is a greater gift than we deserve. Proverbs 16:31 says it in its own way. Gray hair is a crown of glory. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let it shine. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is attained along the path of righteousness. And yet in Psalm 71, if we've been paying attention as we read it, as we prayed it, we have to acknowledge that aging is indeed a gift, yet it is still an experience that is complex, stressful, and disorienting. All of these things are true right there on the surface of Psalm 71. Verse 9 says it this way, in prayer to God, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. Then in verse 18, so even unto old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Part of the complication of aging is weakness and breakdown. I came across a story from a woman, Mary Maxwell, 72 years old, giving a talk at an Omaha senior citizen facility dinner, kind of potluck thing. This is what she said. She said, the thing about old age is that you don't get a chance to practice. It just sort of crept up on me. This is the first time I've been old. There is a sense of abandonment, disorientation that can come with aging in different seasons. The sense of abandonment, the sense of loss can occur when our appearance changes, but even at a sort of existential heart level, when our opinions are no longer sought. We used to be sort of in the center and in the mix of everything, and then we realize we're being dislocated from the center to the periphery, sort of watching. The funny thing about aging is then when you're young, you want to be in the center. You watch from the periphery too. But notice what the old poet, the old psalmist, is concerned with as the decades pass. The psalmist is not concerned simply with youthful appearance. The psalmist is concerned with the strength needed to proclaim the works of God. This is the psalmist's concern as time passes. Listen again to verse 18 in full. You can look at it before you. So even unto old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. This is beautiful. I think this is showing us something of the grace of God in Jesus that transforms our understanding of what it means to age, reshaping our understanding of this phenomenon from being simply a liability to a deeper opportunity for testimony unto God. I've recently learned about a form of painting unfamiliar to me, and I have to admit, all forms of painting are unfamiliar to me, other than just a simple watercolor brush. But this form of painting may be familiar to some of you, encaustic painting. Apparently, one of the oldest forms of painting and art around. And in this form of painting, you actually burn things. And this burning is not done to destroy, but to create. So you sort of heat up wax, and then you kind of pour layer by layer, slowly over time, to end up making this kind of multi-dimensional, highly textured work of art. It's been described as a form of slow art, because you have to be really patient with it. You're burning wax, you lay it, then you have to let it cool. Then you do it again and lay the next layer after layer after layer. This form of slow art. I think if we take Psalm 71 as true, as we should, I think that image of painting, I think that's a picture of what it's like to age. That years and experiences are like layers upon the soul. They create something. They make us who we are. They form us. So that over time, pain layers upon joy. Joy layers upon trial, which layers upon relocations and job changes, and then loss, and then breakthroughs of hope, as we heard here. So that every twist and turn of our years, of the life that God has given to us, adds a layer of our story that matters, in which we experience the grace and presence of God. So that over the course of time, layer by layer, we accumulate a life with all of its twists and turns through the passing of time, and then we're able to stand and to say before our friends and before God and before others, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good to me. Or, layer by layer, year by year, we can accumulate a life. We can give thanks to God for it. Or we can buy the lie that it's all a waste and the good days are behind us. These are the options set before us. We can hear the words of the old psalmist that say we can age gracefully, trusting in the grace of God. Or we can age resentfully, believing our lives to simply be a layering of isolated events with no loving Lord by our side. The path is up to us to choose. But the Lord invites us to see then that getting older is not so much liability as it is a gift, which includes trust and testimony. Aging, though, in another sense, is also a biblical apocalypse, an unveiling. Have you ever been around somebody as they're aging and you noticed, oh, the filter is also going away? This is entertaining, but also dangerous. It's just sort of saying, you know, whatever comes up. And sometimes we think, oh, you know, I'm changing or they're changing. But what if it's the case that as we age, you know, yeah, of course we change. But maybe it's more that the seeds and the layers that were planted are now coming to bloom. And sometimes we find something beautiful. And sometimes we find something poisonous. And a lot of this comes from how we understand the Lord being with us or not. If you want to age well in whatever year of life you're in, receive the grace of the gospel, the goodness of God given to us in Jesus, the one who forgives our sin, who renews our hope, and who leads us to resurrection. Receive, rehearse, rejoice in the gospel that says you matter to the Lord in whatever decade you're in. You've been claimed by the preciousness of his blood. This gospel, this honest gospel faith is all over Psalm 71, verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. I need help and I trust it only comes from you. Verse 14 and 15. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. The psalmist, as they age, is going deeper in honesty and deeper in faith. The psalmist is stressed and assured. The old poet speaks of God's saving acts, his arm, his rescue to redeem. Trust in the Lord as Savior has deepened. This is what can happen to us as we age rooted in the grace of Jesus. Aging can then give you and me a wider base from which we can look down the corridor of our lives and bear testimony and trust in the saving power of God. And look at how the psalmist wants to do this. Even in the twilight and complexity of their life, they want to proclaim to another generation the goodness of who God is. And the psalmist's dream has come true. Look at us, generations down the line, rehearsing and rejoicing in their greatest hits. The desires of their hearts have been fulfilled. Here we are reflecting on the truth that their life bore witness to. There's a beautiful play on words here, especially in verse 15. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. The psalmist says he will recount what cannot be counted, the manifold grace of God in Jesus. Friends, if you want to age well in your teens, tweens, 30s, 40s, all the way up to decade 9 and beyond, the way to do that is to receive all of life with the awareness that it comes from the Lord as gift, that it's grace, and at the center stands Christ himself. Make praise your practice. Look at the blessings of God all around you. Be honest so you can admit that you're stressed, but be assured that the one who gave his son for you will graciously also give you all things. This is how we grow in age, but even in stature of soul. We do this centering our hearts on the truth of the gospel that says that even as we age in complexity and our bodies break down, fallen as they are, we know the end of the story. We know what comes through the hands of the Savior. We know resurrection is even on the other side. So friends, don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie that the best of life is behind you. Don't buy the lie that the best of life is located firmly within a golden era of years. The best of life, the fullness of life, is attached to a person. The Lord Jesus, who's with you at every stage. Rejoice in that hope. Bear witness to what the years lay and layer upon your soul. Rejoice in the one who can renew you and carry you on the eagle's wings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.